Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our 41st episode of Edu All-Stars. We wanted to thank everyone for the great response so far and for everyone who's left reviews on iTunes. We want to make sure that you are tweeting as you watch the show using the hashtag Edu All-Stars, and you can catch all of our previous shows on eduallstars.com/podcast or on iTunes.
And this episode of Edu All-Stars is sponsored by TechSmith. TechSmith provides products in over 180 countries around the world with screen capture and recording software for individual and professional use with products like Snagit, Coach's Eye, Camtasia, TechSmith Relay, and More. They're making a new commitment to help you collaborate and share across your different devices and make sure you can be productive wherever you are.
And we encourage you, as you listen this week, to tweet out using the hashtag EduAllStars, because we are going to be selecting two Twitter users who will win a Camtasia or a Snagit license from TechSmith. And you'll be contacted by me after the show. Just to introduce ourselves, my name is Todd Nesloni. You can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd. And my special, so happy she's back guest co-host today is...
I'm Stacey Huffine, otherwise known as at TechNinjaStacey.
And we are beyond excited to have Zach Malamed here tonight, who is the founder and executive director of the Student Voice and believes firmly that students are today's change makers. Thank you so much, Zach, for being here with us today.
Thank you, Todd, for reading my Huffington Post piece that was published yesterday.
Hey, I do my homework. So, Zach, tell us a little bit about your background. Like, what kind of student were you growing up, and what was your experience like in the educational system?
What kind of student was I growing up? I guess I'm still growing up, so what kind of student am I now? I guess we're all students throughout our lives, right? Not to be cliche or anything. But with that said, I guess my involvement in change, you know, directing my own education and helping other students to do that really started in high school. I was... you know, your stereotypical student voice, I guess, student government president, you know, class president, all of that jazz, but just didn't feel enough, like it was enough, never felt like it was right. I was a fine student. I went to a good high school, a public high school in Long Island, New York. So in the climate that I was in, I was just okay. But, you know, I've started to wake up over the past couple of years and realize that I was pretty lucky to be in the situation I was in. With that said, I also realized that there were plenty of people 10 times smarter than I was or I am who weren't in the same situations. To excel and succeed and connect with people would help them to further their educational experience. And that frustrated me. I also realized in my privileged high school experience how much various parties in the educational space would inhibit student voice from actually having an authentic voice, but also an influential voice, and that frustrated me. And you know, of course, there's always a place for student government leaders and so on and so forth, but I really realized every student deserves a voice in the classroom experience and the school experience, the community experience, and so on and so forth, because after all, education is a personal experience, right?
Right.
We're not standardized individuals. So, yeah, I mean, without rambling for too long, because I'm sure I'll touch upon a lot of the points later on in this conversation, that's who I was. Now I'm a sophomore at the University of Maryland, College Park. I'm creating my own major in social engagement. I love that. I don't know if I could stay in school if I wasn't able to create my own major, because frankly, I came in as a government and politics major, and I have no interest in just studying that anymore. In fact, I don't know why I had an interest in studying that in the first place. It was kind of just because I felt like I couldn't do anything else. Anyway, yeah, I can go on and on and on. And, you know, that's who I am. Maybe not ever. I'm a Dave Matthews fan. I don't know. That's a side note.
That's great.
You know, so I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. That's not as funny. So anyway, that's me.
So tell us a little bit about the Stu Voice and how that whole movement came about.
Yeah, so I like to say that on Twitter there are three main educational communities, or not educational communities, three main communities, Justin Bieber fans, NRA members, and the education community itself. But, you know, seeing how EdChat was such a force and many other Twitter chats became a force, it was frustrating to me to see that there was no interest in having students involved in those conversations. And I guess most of all, I was inspired to act on that just because there was no place for students to have a voice. And I realized what a force Twitter was in the education dialogue. You know, when Arne Duncan starts responding to educators and so on and so forth, you think that there is some sway that Twitter can have in the education community and in education policy and so on and so forth. So with the 200 followers I had, I reached out to my network of students from across the country, reached out to some organizations, and we started the Sioux Voice Twitter chat almost coming up on 2 years now. It was May, it was Teacher Appreciation Day 2012, so I think it was May 7, 2012. And we talked about what makes for a great teacher based on the student experience. And we had everyone from journalists to educators to presidential candidates and, most importantly, students themselves, and the conversation was centered on the students. And from there, heck, things have grown in ways I never expected them to grow. When I started the Twitter chat with a couple of my student colleagues, one of my first thoughts was, this was pretty cool, and I know we're doing this one more time, you know, next week, but when is this going to end? You know, all good things seem to come to an end, and somehow it's lasted 2 years longer than I ever expected it to last. So, of course, we're much more than a Twitter chat now, but it's pretty cool that Twitter has brought together some pretty diverse people all united under the common interest of giving students a voice in their education, and that sounds so fluffy and cliche, but really, the consequence of giving students a voice is decreasing dropout rates, increasing achievement rates. You know, we're doing so much for students by giving them a voice, improving their ability to be prepared for the workforce. It is a critical aspect of our educational experience, and research proves that, but no one takes it seriously. I think if anyone's going to really change education for the better, it's going to be because students led that conversation and led that change. Because it's such a polarized conversation today, and if we're really all working for the students, we should listen to the students, respect the students, and value their input in implementing change.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think people are starting to take it seriously.
And I know that it comes up a lot more in conversations. As I travel to different conferences and talk to educators, it definitely is a much more part of the conversation than it ever has been before.
Yeah. I'd like to think that part of the reason for that is because, like I said, the education community is so substantial on Twitter that just by certain influencers in the education community using the Stu Voice hashtag and then from there realizing the importance of student voice and injecting that into their Twitter conversations, that it is then permeated into the real-life interactions, whether it be at conferences and in the classroom. Because, frankly, 2 years ago, this idea of student voice, there was research out there. There were a couple people talking about it, you know, but with little seriousness in that conversation. And most of all, the students weren't driving that conversation in the way it needed to be driven, if at all. And if they were doing it, it was in pockets across the country. And I think that the student organizing, youth organizing space is one of, if not the most disorganized industry there is. And that's what Student Voice is now, you know, setting out to help solve.
So what are some of the major goals that you have, that you hope to accomplish with this whole movement?
Sure. Well, I mean, I only touched upon the Twitter interaction that we've had, but, you know, there are three things that we really want to do. We want to amplify student voice. We want to aggregate student voice through the community that we're building and connect folks through that. And then we want to accelerate student voice. We want to help those student-led initiatives, whether it be student leading it or organizations that are driven by student voices and student values. We want to help them to move forward. We want to help organizations working in everything from health and wellness to the dropout rate and so on and so forth to move forward and help them accomplish their goals, but through the lens of student voice. We want to help educators, you know, in the classroom take that idea of student voice, put it in a box, and figure out how to apply it to, you know, the classroom experience. So, I mean, simply put, like I said before, it's amplifying, aggregating, and accelerating student voices. But we would love to do that in the classroom, in the community, and in policy. And, you know, as much as the Twitter chat, those conversations have been around for, you know, 2 years, we're really just figuring out exactly how we fit into the education space. What is our best role to really play in moving this idea of student voice forward and improving education? And I don't think it's our job to set up chapters across the country. I don't think it's our job to start a students to decrease dropout rates organization or anything like that. Those things exist. our job is to strengthen those. Our job is to help move those forward through that lens of student voice. And that's really at the crux of what we seek to do. Between now and September, we're looking to really create that narrative around student voice. What does student voice look like? What are the people already doing? What have they done? And what are the problems that they're facing? September 20th, we're hosting our second annual Student Voice Live event in New York City. Last year, we had 22 satellite events across six continents. We reached over 5 million people via social media. It was quite the event. We trended in the state of New York. I mean, that was wild, considering New York is such a powerhouse in a social media, from a social media standpoint. But then post that, you know, with those conversations, again, we're still working on, I'm not going to lie and say we have full understanding of what this is going to look like. We know where we need to work. We know where people are being successful, and we need to help other people move that forward because we do have the expertise. We have the full understanding of the student voice ecosystem. But it comes down to working with educators like you, Todd, and you, Stacy, to really figure out how does this apply to the classroom? How does this apply to the community? You have so much to worry about as an educator, and community organizations have so much to worry about on their own. And we want to make it easier for you guys to accomplish what you want to accomplish through that lens of student voice. So there was a lot in that answer. But, you know, at the end of the day, we are the hub of moving this idea of student voice forward. We are the organization, the student-led organization, the only student-led organization really helping to organize this disorganized industry. And over the next year, I really hope to really facilitate those partnerships with those organizations looking to improve the educational experience, to help them advance that work through the lens of student voice. That's at the very core of what we hope to accomplish in the next year, and we're well on our way to doing that.
Well, there was a quote where you said the most disrespectful thing that you can say to young people is, you're the leaders of tomorrow. Can you explain what you meant by that?
Yeah, I think
love
that
quote, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you, Todd. I don't understand... there's a saying going around in education that's becoming increasingly popular that you learn best by doing. And, you know, how do we expect, I don't want to make this all political, but look at the Congress's approval ratings. Do you think they really learned how to be leaders when they were younger? I'm not saying every young person is meant to be a leader. I don't even love the word leader, but the connotation around the phrase of young people are meant to be the leaders of tomorrow insinuates that we cannot accomplish anything today, whether or not we are leaders. We are not meant to improve society, change society, and improve our own personal experiences today because we're not equipped to. And that's what school is supposedly, you know, meant to help us do. Of course, schools are part of us growing and developing as leaders, but you grow and develop as leaders throughout life. I think that if we just focus on tomorrow and we don't prepare them to do it today, then they won't be as successful as, and students won't be as successful as they can be being civically engaged and being the leaders of our society tomorrow. Whether it be, you know, Jack Andreyka coming up with an early detection for pancreatic cancer, whether it be Emma Axelrod, you know, being the person who advocated for and ensured that we had a woman moderate the first ever presidential debate. I mean, the first ever presidential debate that a woman moderated. These are things that young people are doing that we all expect adults to be doing. All adults can't do these things, and all students can't necessarily do all of these things, but someone within all of us is able to accomplish certain things. And we need to, you know, equip people with the environment to be able to aspire to the greatest heights. You know, I try to reach bars that right now I can't even reach. But if you don't reach, you're never going to get there, right? So, you know, give students that opportunity. It's so important. And it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, too. You know, if we don't let students or believe in students, well, why are they ever going to believe in themselves? I mean, that's really at the core of this one, that statement.
So we talked a little bit about social media and you using Twitter as a platform to start getting this message out there. How big of a role has social media actually played with you getting the message out there?
You know what? We've functioned as an organization. I mean, our organization literally has raised basically $0 to operate other than filing legal paperwork, we've paid $0, and the fact that we are so well connected, have such a great following, such a great community, and there are people, like you said, Todd, talking about this at a rate that, you know, people have never talked about Student Voice before. You know, social media has been the reason for that. Many people say, oh, Zach, we're so impressed with what you've done, you know, with Student Voice and so on and so forth, and I appreciate that. It takes hard work and dedication. You know, even running a Twitter chat, like, heck, that's not an easy thing. I've had a lot of people say, hey, will you start a Twitter chat with me? I'm like, do you realize how much work it takes to actually run a successful Twitter chat? You know, social media is not an easy thing to master, and heck, we haven't even come close to mastering it, but I think we're doing an okay job. I guess I'll never say I'm doing a good enough job because that's what drives me. But it's to get back to the point I was making about what adults say about, you know, being impressed by the work we're doing. Students like me have never had the access we have, or the opportunity, access to opportunity, to build something like we built with Student Voice, and that's because of social media. It's because of the connections I had. I mean, heck, when Randy Weingarten responded to me, when Arnie Duncan responded to me, and the questions I was posing to them over social media, I realized that students are hard to ignore when they put themselves out there. And social media is also hard to ignore in our society today. Such a powerful tool. And I mean, heck, the people I've been connected with, and the people, my best friends I think I might have met over Twitter, or my greatest colleagues I've met over Twitter. Student Voice is an organization. We planned Student Voice Live last year with 40 kids from across the world, none of whom had met in person before.
You know, it's
Todd,
so
Todd met over Twitter that all the time.
Well, it's so funny to hear this conversation from a student perspective, and that you talk about building those relationships and work with people from all over the world, because as a connected educator, you know, that's kind of some of the things we talk about, and is how once we got involved on social media and connecting with other educators, it just blows your mind the possibilities that exist, and then you do begin to build real friendships
sure.
with people and real connections that would have never existed yeah. otherwise.
Well, the funny thing is you go to ISTE, and there are certain people who have, like, X amount of followers on Twitter, like a lot, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands. And they're a celebrity at ISTE. But, and they feel like a celebrity. And you know what? That kind of bothers me. You know, I love the energy at a conference like ISTE. I think it's great. And it shows you the potential that we have to really mobilize and do something to change education. But at the end of the day, if one of us, you, me, anyone, and this is what I realized by trying to have a social life in college despite all the work that I try to do, is that, you know, you walk into a bar, you walk into a restaurant, people don't know who we are. Mm-hmm. You know, we might have 100,000 followers on Twitter, but people don't know the work that we're doing.
Right.
And until that day comes, and it's not all about getting the attention, but, you know, people know the people who get stuff done, right? You know, you walk in somewhere, and if you're, you know, Kobe Bryant, heck, you accomplished something. People are going to walk in, and people are going to know you because you got something done. You were a good basketball player. We haven't done enough yet, and the Twitter community is great because it's catching attention within our little silo, our bubble of the education community. But everyone is associated with the education community. If you're a parent, if you're a young person, if you're in the corporate field, if you're in government, you all have a role to play here. It's not like we can just, you know, work in our little community to sell, you know, if you were running a shop or whatever, and you know, a general store, and you wanted to sell stuff, you know, you just work on your local community and that's it. We're talking about a local issue on a national scale, and we've done nothing yet. We have not come close to where we need to be as advocates for improving education, transforming education, but we're on our way. And, you know, when people start to connect like they're connecting over social media, you see the power, but we've only hit the tip of the iceberg, and if anyone thinks we're even close to where we should be, that's just naive in my opinion. I mean, these Twitter chats, they're not even close to as good as they can be, not even close to as good as they should be. The conversations we're having at conferences and so on and so forth, In many respects, we're just having the same conversations but with different people. And new ideas are shared a bit here and there. You know, you learn from one district that implemented this, and then you're able to take that story and share it with your own district and then implement that. But largely, again, same conversations, different people. And it's great to know that you have allies across the country. Let's do something with that.
Right.
And that's a struggle, But it also makes you realize that there's more to the work that we're doing than just the social media bubble that we live in. But that social media bubble is also so powerful. I don't discredit that. I wouldn't be, you know, leveraging Twitter and Twitter chats and all of that and Google Hangouts if I didn't see the power there. You need a strong community to really build your community. You need a strong base to build that. And I hope that the education community starts to realize that, because I know, you know, we're nowhere near where we need to be with student voice. And I know educators will probably feel the same way about the work that they're trying to do to improve their profession and the work that they're doing. So it's, it's interesting.
Well, I'm super jealous because recently you were also at South by Southwest EDU. And I didn't get to go to that either. So what was that like?
Two words. Humbling and exhausting, and I mean those both of those words in the most literal sense. Most times when you hear the word humbling, it really means, oh, my ego was able to grow in this environment with so many other great people. I mean, that's what you usually hear. Humbling doesn't really mean what everyone tries to say it means. I was like, basically everything I just said is what I realized even more so at South by Southwest, is that the work we're doing is important. The work we're doing is noticeable. People will come up to you. Whether it be, you know, the Gates Foundation people, and you say whatever you want about them politically, they're obviously very well known and very well regarded. Or the corporations or the government officials, they're all there. There are a lot of things going on in education. Everyone knows it needs to be transformed. There are so many different conversations coming together, but again, they're siloed. Just the teachers talking with the teachers, just the government officials talking with the government officials. That's not South by South. That's not the conference's problem. That's our problem that we need to start to solve. We need to get out of our comfort zones. I think that the conference can do a little bit to help solve that. But it's such a powerful event, too, because it brings together so many influential stakeholders. Mm-hmm. And that was cool to see. It's cool to see, you know, the big names, not just on Twitter, but the big names in the big organizations that are really transforming education for better or worse right now. That power there is incredible. It's, what, a quarter the size of ISTE, but the capacity for change is still ridiculous. Right. So that's one part. The exhausting part was there's so much going on, so much you want to do, and I didn't go to more than one session. that one session was my own. I think that it's a great conference, but I want to see more action come from all these education conferences. That's right. What's cool about EdCamps. You know, you get the local community together, and people start working on local change because they're all there and they're well connected and know how to take what's being discussed there, and they can all work together to apply that change. When you go to South by Southwest or an ISTE, you got people from all over the country working in their own little communities, and they could share ideas. But then the ability to actually create change based on those ideas is so much more difficult, because you got to take the great ideas you heard, and you're so motivated after a conference like South by Southwest or an ISTE, and you go back and no one experienced the amazingness that you experienced and the exhausting amazingness that you experienced. So that's the struggle, but also the awesome part. I'm trying to figure this out, and I hope other people are too, because I know I'm not alone here whatsoever. But we really got to capitalize on these amazing what industry has the kind of conferences that education has, the kind of gatherings and the kind of community that the education community has? I think you'd be hard-pressed to find many, if any.
Yeah.
So, again, it makes you believe, but it also makes you wonder, are we doing this right now? Oh, by the way, let me just add, I was one of like 10 students there, if even 10.
Well, I know you were there with, and I heard you mention him earlier, but I know you were there with my friend Jack, and he's been on the show. We had him on one of our first couple episodes, but he and I, we talk quite often. I know you were there with him, and he was talking about some stuff, and I just thought it was so cool to see a group of you there providing a presence, because I think we miss that so often at these conferences.
Yeah, I said this year was the year to make it known that student voice needs to play a role at South By, because, you know, what happens at South By, trends are set at South By. That's the one conference you know. If something becomes a trend there, it's going to carry out throughout the year. That's what South By is known for, whether it's music, education, interactive, so on and so forth, film. That's a trend-setting event. And we did that. You know, when you have Anya Kamenetz writing about that being one of the five things to look out for over the next year, it's one of your top education journalists. I have so much respect for her. And she's not alone. You had a lot of people writing, you know, these students were here. They added such a great presence and perspective to this event. We need more of them. We definitely need more students at these events. If we're not including students in these conversations, what's the point of having them?
You know, well, really, you know what I have for you that I see is have you seen or heard any pushback from this whole movement, from people, what people think about it?
Have I heard pushback? It's all politics, right? Isn't it all politics at the end of the day? But, you know, what Student Voice has carefully tried to do from day one is, unlike other student organizations, we're not going to take a stance on any issue other than the fact that students need to have a voice in their education. In a very practical sense, students need to have a voice in their education. And I could outline that from the classroom to policy to the community. But, you know, I've seen a lot of pushback in regards to, you know, who do you work with? Who are the true authentic players in this game? Who really wants to give students a voice? And who just wants to, you know, put out this idea of student voice to make themselves look good? I couldn't be more honest with you guys. It is at the end of the day, you just got to know what you're doing is right. And if what you're doing is right, then that's all that matters. Because at the end of the day, you're going to accomplish what you want to accomplish. The pushback, if anything, aside from the politics of it, is just how do we do this? How do we give students a voice without, you know, and do so in a comfortable way? People are so used to not giving students a voice. So how do you have a classroom environment, whether it be a low-income community or, you know, an affluent community, how do you do that without disrupting the structure or the necessary structure? Those are simple answers. Those are things we shouldn't be concerned with. But it's an idea, a thought, a philosophy in education that people aren't that familiar with. So if anything, it's just them being uncomfortable.
So on the opposite side of pushback, what's the most exciting thing that you've seen happen since all this began?
What's the most exciting thing? I mean, having Arnie Duncan on a Twitter show was pretty awesome. And said something, you know, when they reached out to us and said, we want to have you on the Twitter, we want to join a Student Voice Twitter chat, that was cool. But I'd like to see more from that than just, you know, joining a Twitter chat. I'd like to see students really have influence in the conversations that he has and be in every conversation that he has. You know, when you have parents and teachers at the table, where the heck are the students? So there's that, but the most exciting thing is when I get an email from an educator who says, because of X, Y, and Z that you shared with me either during a Twitter chat or through your organization's resources, I've never had a more fulfilling time teaching my students than when I implemented this philosophy of student voice into my classroom. That is the best. It is not when Arnie Duncan, I mean, how could I not mention the fact that Arnie Duncan joined a Twitter chat, but frankly, that's not what gets me excited. That's just what gets the community excited and makes them realize that what we're doing is important. But when the teachers start to notice a difference and the students start to notice a difference and get excited about it, you know you got something there. You know you have something there. You know, Dan, Todd, when you say that, you know, you go to other conferences and you go on Twitter and you see people talking about it over the past 2 years more than ever before, I know we created a conversation that largely didn't exist before. Leveraging a medium that didn't exist before, too. So right place, right time. And it excites me to see that this conversation is building momentum. So awesome to see. So, so awesome. And it's not our job to control that. This is completely organic and authentic. And our job is just to help those folks move it forward. So that is cool. When there's a classroom and there are students and a teacher I've never met before, that were impacted by the work that Student Voice is doing, that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Well, Zach, we just really want to thank you, you know, for joining us and coming on and talking about Student Voice. And, you know, we hope that this gets out to more than just educators, you know, to other people as well.
Yeah. It's a cultural shift we're trying to create, right? It's not just something that takes place in the classroom. We focus on the classroom a bit during this conversation, but You know, who believes that students are going to have a voice if students only have a voice in the classroom and don't have one at home and don't have one in the community? There's a lot of work to be done. And again, the only thing I'd like to emphasize before I leave is this isn't a cliche concept. There's been decades of research done on this, and there's not one ounce of research, whether it be the Gates Foundation or, you know, your freelance researcher, that doesn't prove that students having a voice improves the educational experience, improves the community environment. It is one of the most critical pieces that nobody's talking about. And the consequences affect absolutely every aspect that we want to improve of education, whether it be STEM, dropout rates, achievement rates, college acceptance rates, workforce readiness. It's all there. It's all covered just by giving students that role in their own education. So I get excited by this stuff, and I get excited by talking with folks like you, and hopefully some of the folks watching want to get engaged in this community that's growing. And it's not just a student community. It's an education community. It's a community of community members. And Student Voice Live, September 20th in New York City. Stay tuned for details. Jack will be one of our speakers, by the way. Mm-hmm. So we're excited for that and hope to have, satellite events across the country again, really engage the students who might not be able to make it to New York, but want to really help change their school with their educators and their other community members. So that's one great way to get involved right off the bat. And visit StuVoice.org, the StuVoice hashtag. So many ways to get involved. So thank you, Stacy and Todd, for inviting me today. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you, Zach.
Thanks again for coming.
Of course.
Just a couple of ways that you can connect with us on Twitter. You can go to @EduAllStarsHQ or use the hashtag hashtag EduAllStars. You can also go to their website, www.eduallstars.com, to view this podcast and others. And on iTunes, search EduAllStars No Spaces.
You can join us next Monday, April 14th, as we interview Victoria Olson at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then on Monday, April 21st, we'll have Deanna Jump, who is the highest earning teacher on Teachers Pay Teachers.
And we just really want to thank TechSmith again for sponsoring the podcast for the next month. They have great products, and we encourage you to support them. And also don't forget to tweet with the hashtag EduAllStars so that Todd can pick a winner for the prizes.
Thanks, guys, and we'll see you all next week. Thanks, Zach.
Bye.